You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to a special bonus podcast on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed. I am Maxwell Baumbach, and today I'm going to be joined by a special guest. He is one of my favorite players in college basketball this past season. He is Jake Stevens. If you are unfamiliar with him, get prepared to know him because he is one of the most interesting and exciting prospects to keep an eye on going into this 2023 NBA draft cycle. Just finished up a graduate season at Chattanooga, 7 feet tall, 7 foot 10 wingspan. Finished the year averaging 22 points, 9.8 rebounds, and 2.2 blocks per game. So very productive big man, but here's the kicker, folks. Over the last two seasons, he is a combined 45% from the three-point line on real heavy volume, over five a game both seasons. So a rim-protecting, scoring, rebounding, outside threat, one of the most just fascinating big men in this upcoming class. So I'm really excited to talk to Jake, and we're going to be back with him right after the break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, we are back with Jake Stevens. Jake, you just finished up your final season at Chattanooga. How's everything going for you today?
Dude, it's good. Honestly, the season didn't go as we planned. Obviously, got hurt, missed a couple games, but to be able to come back and make a run in the tournament is kind of all you can ask for. So ended on a great note, I guess.
For sure, for sure. And yeah, you did battle through. It was a wrist or hand injury, right, that you had?
Yeah.
And how are you doing now?
Yeah, I'm doing good. So it's, I think I'm 7 or 8, something like that, 8 weeks removed from when I had originally did it, and feeling good, feeling healthy good as ever. So shots awesome. Still going in, so that's what matters.
that's what matters. That's really important. So before we kind of get into you, your journey, and who you are, let's just start off broad strokes. For people who've not seen you play basketball before, how would you describe your game?
You hit it pretty well in the intro. I think if I could take you on the road with me, that might be helpful. Permanent intro guy. No, I would say I'm a 7 foot big guy that likes to shoot threes and pass the ball. I mean, I've been blessed to have Coach Earl. He was my coach at VMI, yeah, and then obviously went to Chattanooga. I'm sure we'll get into it all, but he kind of told me from the beginning that we're gonna put the ball in your hands and let you make plays, and that's kind of what attracted me to his system from the beginning. So, you know, credit to him.
For sure, for sure. So at the very beginning, I mean, obviously being tall, like I'm not nearly as tall as you are, but I'm 6'5", and still just like growing up, being the taller kid, everyone's like, you play basketball? You play basketball?
So
I'm assuming you had a lot of that going on, but what kind of got you into this sport?
Yeah, everywhere I go, I can't go to the grocery store without getting asked. So, you know, my parents asked to just carry around cards or a sign or something that just says, yes, I'm 7 feet tall. Yes, I play basketball. So, but getting into the sport, I have two older brothers.
Okay.
And when you have older brothers, obviously there's immediate competition there. So everything we did, we were competitive. And then, you know, they started playing basketball. So naturally I have to play basketball with them, playing in the driveway, playing at the rec center, doing anything together. And they started taking it more serious. So I started taking it more serious. So it was just kind of a snowball effect.
Mm-hmm. And who were like some of the guys that you watched growing up that you liked watching? Were there any players that you were like, that's my guy?
Yeah, I was the Kevin Love fan in the group.
Okay.
Everybody's wearing the LeBron jerseys, the Kevin Durant jerseys or whatever. And I'm the kid with the Kevin Durant Minnesota when he went to Cleveland the first, I was the Kevin Love fan. So I've always kind of enjoyed watching, you know, bigger guys play ball. He was kind of the guy for me when I was growing up.
For sure. Well, there are some similarities there. I mean, big guy, rebounder, passer. Like it's,
yep.
You can see the influence. So coming out of high school, so like you mentioned, you've played for Danerol basically all 5 years of college, but you started at VMI. Prior to that, like what was your game like in high school? Because you did grow. And I don't know that that's something like a lot of people know about you, is that you're kind of a late growth spurt guy as well. But what was your game like in high school? And then what was the recruiting process like, and how did you end up at VMI?
Yeah, I've pretty much grown steadily my whole life. Like I've been tall. I was like 6'3" as a freshman in high school and just kind of have grown every year since really. Mm-hmm. Coming out of high school, I was not very heavily recruited. I had a Division II school here back home where my middle brother goes. Mm-hmm. They had a little offer for me to play there. But other than that, I didn't have much. I knew I wanted to play Division I basketball, and VMI is like 2 hours down the road from where I live. I didn't know mm-hmm. anything about the place. I didn't even know it was on the map. So I went and visited and kind of saw the place and really just thought it would be a really good opportunity. And I wanted to do something different, you know. I have so many friends that are going to WVU or Shepherd. I wanted to do something different. So I was like, you know what, this is a full scholarship to a D1 school. It's something different. Like, checked all the boxes. So kind of lucked into that one. And then, yeah, obviously had a great career there. Super thankful for my time and, graduating, and you got to move on.
For sure. And going to a school like VMI, with it being Virginia Military Academy Institute, like what are the differences at a school like VMI versus, like you're mentioning, like you had friends go to other schools, West Virginia, places like that. Like what is the difference as far as like being a student athlete at a school like VMI versus like Chattanooga where you finished up or other colleges?
Yeah, it's a different world, man. And you don't realize it while you're there. And part of that's probably credit to, you know, the coaching staff, because they really, you know, make it feel like a high level program. But, you know, now being on the outside looking in, like we just had no time to rest, eating and everything. It's just all different there. And I'm not knocking it at all, because I needed it at the time. And it certainly, like, it teaches you a lot about yourself. And I think it was probably the best thing for me, the best thing I could have done. You have the first 6 months while you're there. It's called the rat line. Like, I mean, I could get into so many different things. Like, you don't have your phone, you have to walk a certain way. Like it's a military school. It really is. Yeah. I mean, you're playing basketball at a military school. I'm sure Naval Academy, Citadel, everybody would tell you the same thing. So it was different, but it was 100%. I needed it. It really just helped me, you know, figure out who I was as a person, who I was as a man, and, really just kind of helped shape me down the road.
For sure. For sure. And at VMI, you managed to immediately carve out playing time as a freshman. But still, like, it's not easy to make that transition from high school ball to college ball. For you, what were the biggest adjustments going from one level to the next?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, everybody always talks about the speed of the game or whatever. And I mean, I think I heard Jokic say it once, like, I was just so slow that like nothing was gonna speed me up. Like, if I was gonna be sped up, that was gonna be good. Like, but no, I mean, probably the physicality. Like, I was, I don't know. I guess I was definitely not as tall as I am now. I was probably like 6'9", maybe 6'10", and just kind of pudgy, like still had some baby fat on, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. So I was still trying to figure out that whole thing, still maturing. And just like, obviously at that time, I'm pretty much just a pick and pop guy. Like, I don't remember too many times I got the ball in the post. It was definitely no drawn up plays for me in the post. So just, and in high school, that was kind of what I was. I didn't shoot as much in high school. I was definitely more of a give it to him on the block or offense rebound kind of guy. And in college, that immediately changes to now you're the shooting big. So, yeah, definitely probably the physicality of the bigs. And then just the fact that everybody was so much older than me, because I was 18, 19 years old. And I mean, playing against guys who are 22, 23, essentially like I am now, it's a whole different ballgame.
For sure. For sure. So, just kind of monitoring like your college career over the years, I feel like there are two, I mean, there's a bunch of sizable improvements that stand out. But one of the biggest ones has been like your fitness level. Like you mentioned, coming into college, like you mentioned, like you had some baby fat on you. And I feel like even compared to a year ago, you move a lot better on the floor than you did. How do you feel about your growth as an athlete over the years? And what's that process been like? Because in your case too, like we're still growing, it's kind of difficult. Like that just adds like an extra layer to the challenge of all of it. So what's that been like? And what are some things that have kind of helped you along the way?
Yeah. Well, so the first thing for me, my first 2 years, obviously trying to figure out college, trying to figure out VMI. And you know, it's different than everywhere else. Like we have a strength program, but we're not like, it's not like I could just go in there all times throughout the day. Like, you know, the time I get with the strength coach was limited. So, I mean, I'm making do with what I can. And then come the end of my sophomore year, we get sent home for the pandemic. And you know, me and my brother are just at home and we're like, you know, two college basketball players. He's Division II, I'm Division I. And we're just like, hey, we got nothing else to do. Let's just lift 6 days a week and play ball. And just, so we were just going at it really for, you know, however long that was before we went back in the summer. And that was like a big jump for me, really confidence wise. Cause I felt like I was more of the player I wanted to be. Like I could play more, I could move a little bit better, but yeah. Then, I mean, like you said, the interesting thing was last year at the end of the year, feel like I'm playing really good ball, sprained my ankle pretty bad. And, you know, that takes me out most of the summer. And I'm like, man, this was like, you know, you're supposed to do test the waters. You're supposed to go see what the NBA is like, see what the feedback is. And I kind of missed out on all of that. And I really wasn't fully healthy, like running and jumping. I really wasn't cleared for all that until like we get back in August. So, I mean, I really had August, September, and October there of an off season. And I try to tell people like I was doing so much at that time. And I think all the improvements you see this year have only come in, you know, the 3 month off season. Whereas now I have, you know, I have really, I guess until summer league, I guess would be the next big step or Portsmouth. So I have, you know, a couple months here to really work on that stuff. So I don't know, it's been a steady growth, but I mean, it's obviously something I've been monitoring and trying to get better at each step.
For sure. For sure. And then the shooting, I mean, we've talked about the shooting quite a bit, but it's a signature component of your game. And it's been an area of growth too. So like as a freshman, you mentioned that was kind of your bread and butter. You were shooting a lot. You actually took quite a bit more threes than twos as a freshman.
Yeah.
But still you got better at the outside shooting and, you went from 34.5% on about 3.5 a game to now this year, 5.2 a game, 40.8%, 49% last year. While also getting better inside too. I mean, 8.5 twos per game this year, 64% on twos. But I think that part of the game is like just something kind of people expect from you in a way, because like you're so big and physical.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, of course he's gonna like make 65% of his twos or whatever. but with the outside shooting, I mean, it's just really been a clear area of development. Was there like a turning point for you, or where you started to feel it click a little bit more, or is it just something where it's just been a nice kind of steady progression over time?
You know, I would say it's definitely not been a steady progression over time. Like I would shoot all the shots. I would do all of that. But, I mean, you see the first 3 years of my career, really my percentage started decent as a freshman. Not, I wouldn't say anything crazy. Would you say 35, 34%?
Yeah, it was 34.5. Yeah.
and really declines the next 2 years. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of like looking at myself, like, I know you can shoot the ball. Like I don't really, you know, but now it's been 3 years in the mid to low 30s. And, you know, Coach Earl brings me at our end of the year, meeting, my junior year, and is like, you know, great player, love everything you do. But like, for you to take this to the next step, like, you're going to have to become a knockdown shooter. And I was just like, kind of hurt, because I was like, that's like the name of my game. That's what I do. But obviously, like, the numbers are saying like otherwise. It's hard to argue numbers. So
yeah.
That was just, you know, at that point I'm like, all right, well, whatever I'm doing, you know, let's scrap it. Let's go back to the drawing board. More reps, more shots. So, I mean, that was kind of the biggest thing there. And to see the jump as much as it did, was really just, I mean, just a lot of reps and just being in the gym. I mean, I wish there was a secret to tell you, but there's really not, just a ton of reps.
Was there anything in terms of like the mechanics or the form or like the shot preparation that you tweaked with? Because when I wrote about you this past off season, that was like one of the biggest things that jumped out, was that like, you really are like an elite shooter for any size, but especially at 7 feet tall. But what really struck me was just like how well you move into your shot, how well you know, get your feet under you. The fact that you've got some bend in your knees when you're catching the ball, your release is high, all that. Was there anyone that you were like, I'm going to try to build my shot in sort of in the mold of this player? Or was it just sort of like a finding what worked for you sort of process?
Yeah, I would, you know, it's funny because I used to think like, man, like I have a pretty solid looking shot. And then, you know, you'd see action shots and it's like, ooh, like that does not look how it feels. Like, you know, my arms are, you know, my elbows are all out or whatever. So there was definitely some minor tweaks. I mean, I'm a firm believer in like, you have the jump shot you have, like, it's just perfect what you have. Like tweaking things is kind of tough, but I mean, I definitely looked at like, this is going to sound crazy, but like Kevin Durant has like a jump shot from like the left side of his face almost. So I was kind of just like looking at how he goes up into a shot and stuff. Obviously couldn't be further player from him, but as far as like his shooting form, it's relatively similar. And then like when you're shooting on like the shooting machines or the shootaways, the big thing for me was like, just rep it quicker. Like, you have a good shot, it's there. Let's just get it off quicker. I think that really, really helped, just kind of speeding things up and getting into your shot a little bit quicker. So,
And with speeding up the release, I feel like that's like one of the, like, just speaking as an evaluator, that's always like a tricky thing where it's like, oh, this guy's got a good shot, but he takes a long time to get it off. But do you feel like it actually helped you shoot it more consistently to get through the motion quicker?
Yeah, I do. I think it's almost, and it's not even like, you know, okay, every shot is not going to be like, I'm not going to get a wide open shot in the corner and just like fire really quick. Like,
yeah.
So it's more of just like, hey, like, you get a lot of pick and pops. So, you know, let's try when we're shooting on the shooting machine, like, let's try backing up. And then as soon as the ball catches your hands, let's be ready to fire it, because I am, you know, getting pick and pops, and I am labeled as the pick and pop guy. So they're full rotating or they're, you know, veer switching in, the guy's right there. So you do have to get it off quicker. So that was kind of my thought process in it also.
Yeah. And that's interesting that you bring that up and like the switches and the rotations and the things like that, because I think when like people from the outside are evaluating like where a player's going, they just think like, oh, just like go to the gym and get shots up. And like, in your case, it's a lot different because your role is not standing in the corner and catching and shooting. It is setting a screen, laying it in, making sure your guard gets space, then adjusting your footwork, whether it's backpedaling or going to the side or shifting away from the defense, or even like ghosting in some situations to get that space from the defender. So are those kind of things that you would incorporate, or like having people come at you from different angles to like focus getting off the shot in the face of a closeout?
Yeah, definitely. Like shooting over a closeout, like we would have assistant coaches or GAs, whatever, just kind of, you know, either standing there or kind of running at you. And it's just give you a little bit of a feel of someone closing out to you. I mean, the biggest thing is just, I felt like, you know, you can stand there and make a bunch of shots, and that's good too. Like that, you know, every repetition is just, it's just better for you. But I found that like, okay, I'm going to shoot 10 just standing here, just get a good feel. And then I'm going to go 10 where I backpedal, 10 where I'm stepping to the right, 10 to the left, and then 10 where I treat it like a trail three.
Okay.
And that's kind of like, you know, just getting your feet moving, because I really like, I wish I knew how many of mine were like just catch and shoot threes, but I mean, most of them I would say are off the move, some type of,
yeah,
someone sets you a flare, someone sets you, you know, obviously come off of ball screens. So there is like definitely the aspect of getting your feet moving into a three, you know, getting used to that.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. I appreciate you kind of going into some depth there. Another part of your game that I really like, and I think part of the reason that your offensive profile is as interesting as it is because you're also a really good passer. So I think that kind of adds a level of intrigue to your game, that you're not just like, oh, I'm big and I shoot threes. It's like, well, I can also orchestrate handoffs. I can run offense through the top of the key. I can find cutters. Like there's a lot more to it than just the shooting that I think really makes you pop and makes you an effective player. You had mentioned that like in high school is more kind of a post-based game for you. What was that adjustment like, just from like a playmaking standpoint, from going to being a guy who's on the block and dealing with doubles and passing out of that versus now you're sort of operating from a different space on the court?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't know that I was like a good passer. Like, you know, my brother's a point guard. I've always said he's like got great vision, and you know, he would find me on these things. Like that was his job, not mine. Like I would just catch it and finish, catch and put it in, whatever. So yeah, I didn't really see that in my game, which is, you know, even crazier for Coach Earl to bring me in as a 6'9" big. That's like, you know, undersized, not real athletic. Like this kid's going to be the guy that passes and does everything like that. We run the offense through him. So it really is crazy. But I think the biggest thing for me with passing, it just came down to like, how can you affect the game without scoring? And especially my freshman year at VMI, we had Bubba Parham, who I think he was either like first or second scoring in the league. Like there was no, I wasn't really being asked to score. I mean, shoot the ball when you're open, but you know, we're not coming to you for gameplay. So finding the right guy, just making the right read more often than not. And coach kind of gets on me sometimes, you know, it's not so much about the fancy pass. It's more about the, you know, finding the guy that's open and just making the right pass. So it was something that's just kind of been and worked on. And then obviously the past 2 years, seeing more double teams, just being a willing passer, really. I even tell people in this off season or this preseason, we were, you know, doing some scrimmages against Kennesaw State and EKU, and they're double teaming me and send the different looks. And I was just being too aggressive almost. Like, you know, I just had too many turnovers there. And coach is just like, hey, like, just, you know, settle down. Just when they're coming at you, just like make the easy play. And it really is just like a slow down, know that they're coming, and then find the guy that's open. I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, people cutting to the basket, like we've done a good job of that. So I think it's just something that's kind of just worked its way up over the years and kind of been the perfect Princeton offense. It's kind of like what we run.
Mm-hmm. And what is your thought process like during a game? Like when you're in a situation where, like, say you get a screen, you get hit on the pop, like what are you looking for on the floor, and how does that influence the decision that you make?
Yeah, so most of the time, if we're in a ball screen, we call them 1-2-3 ball screen, and it's obviously the number of guys you're driving into would be the number it would be. So we like to do a lot of three ball screens or one ball screens where it's kind of like an open side for me on the pick and pop, kind of putting the like help side defender in a tough situation where if he full rotates, you know, I got this guy that's, you know, the lone guy on the one side, he's cutting to the basket, and find him on the burn, we call it. And then whereas if he stays, obviously you're going to pick and shoot it.
Yep.
I would say probably my junior year, team started doing like a veer switch. At Wofford, kind of sticks out to me that they started veer switching with like Ryan Larson and Storm Murphy. And, you know, at that point it's like you're picking and popping, but you still have a guard there. So it's not like you can shoot it. Dribbling against the guard is not as, you know, effective, obviously, because they're, you know, a little craftier, can steal it from you. So at that point, it's like late dive to the rim. And now you have a smaller guy on you. Junior year wasn't, I mean, I could finish at the basket, but, you know, wasn't really making people pay for that. And then obviously past 2 years, I have been doing that a little better. So, I mean, there's just a whole bunch of different reads, but you're really, if you're looking at anything, you're looking at kind of the next guy in line, whether he's helping in his offensive play, in my offensive player cutting to the rim, or if, you know, if he stays back, you can tee off on him.
Awesome. Always love to get more into that kind of stuff, because I feel like a lot of times in the draft space in particular, we don't really focus a lot on like the X's and O's element of it. It's just a lot of like, he shoots or like he rebounds. So it's fun to go through the thought process a little bit. What are the things, like, as your college career is kind of coming to a close, like, what are some of your memories from playing college basketball? Like, what are the things that you're going to be like, I'm going to tell like my grandkids and stuff about this someday?
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen the video. I think it's the dude's from Wisconsin or something, and he's crying, and they're like, well, you know, what are you going to remember from college basketball? And he's just like crying, and he's like going out to eat or something.
Yeah, going out to eat.
You know, most people are probably looking at that like, this guy just played 4 or 5 years of college basketball and he's talking about going out to eat. But it really is like the team meals, you know, sitting with the guys afterwards, just in the meeting room, you know, hanging with the coaches, and the coaches have a great relationship with them. You know, those are all the little things that I'm going to remember. Obviously, the wins and losses are what they are. Like, you can't change them at this point, but you know, you're going to remember the big ones. I'm going to always remember the run at Chattanooga, coming back for the last, you know, we needed to make a 4-game run and we did it. And, you know, so that's something, you know, maybe, you know, I'm 60, 70 years old. I'm going to tell my kids that I probably won that championship, to be honest with you. I'll just make it up.
Yeah.
Know the difference. So. But no, really just hanging out with the guys and just having a good time, because it really is a blast, man. And it does go quick.
For sure. And so let's talk about kind of going forward. So now season's over. It's, you know, here at No Ceilings NBA, we're big NBA draft people. It's draft season. That's kind of what's in front of you going forward. So the first question I'm going to ask is like kind of a slightly unfair question. But I've been a fan of yours for some time. And it just seems like in the draft space, it's kind of like hard for mid-major guys to gain traction, things like that. Why do you think people have slept on Jake Stephens? Like, why do you feel like people have not kind of come around, or like, why do you think that, like, whether it's the mainstream boards or things like that, why do you feel like they haven't?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. Cause I do see, like, you know, everybody puts out their draft board and I look on there, like, I try to see my name, you know, that'd be something cool to read, but yeah, I do get left off a lot. And there's no right or wrong answer. I mean, nobody really knows. I feel like I was working towards, you know, putting together a really good season and kind of leaving my mark. And I got injured last year. I think I was, you know, in a similar situation. Like, I was in the running to be SoCon Player of the Year, and Malachi Smith, who won the SoCon Player of the Year, ends up winning the Lou Henson Award. So like, that was, you know, just kind of two untimely injuries. And, you know, if both of those don't happen, I'm, you know, have way different accolades to my name, but obviously not meant to be. So I'm not upset at it at all, but, no, I don't know. I think people just, look at the SoCon a little bit as not a huge, big power conference, or even like a really good mid-major conference. So I think they discount the competition a little bit, but it really is like, we have some guys like obviously Jalen Slauson, Mike Bothwell, Logan Dye, like a ton of guys, BJ Mack, like a ton of really good bigs this year, honestly. So yeah, I don't know. I would like to say, you know, that's not the case, but yeah, I definitely, you know, think I am a little bit slept on, but I mean, that's what these NBA workouts are for. And there's still plenty of time. Like, if you go have a good workouts, have, you know, get invited to Portsmouth and do well, and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. So there's plenty of time. You know, these draft boards are just mock 100%. Drafts.
100%. I agree with you completely. And I think something to keep in mind is, like, I think anyone who's not in a high major rises after the year. every year. Like last year, I mean, completely different type of player, but like Vince Williams played in the Atlantic 10 last year, and I did a feature on him in like March or April, and like he was still like 91st on ESPN Sport, and he ends up drafted on draft night. Like a lot of the mid-major guys, I think they're just kind of out of sight, out of mind to a degree. And then I think once the season's over, they go to workouts, buzz builds up, and vice versa. I think people just have more time to dig back into the film, and they kind of stumble across guys, and you get, that's how you get a lot of late risers, and a lot of them come from mid-major programs. Like John Conchar was another guy too, where like his buzz kind of built up late.
And that's the cool thing, like with you guys, with your podcast and stuff like that, like you're highlighting, like I know you did the No Stones Unturned. And like, so that's, you know, been a big thing for the mid-major guys, is just having, you know, you guys is really an outlet, as you guys are kind of speaking for us. So
we really appreciate that. Cause that's, I've always been passionate about it. I've always been, you know, obviously passionate about the draft. That's why I'm doing this whole thing. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's not even about being first as much as it's about like, well, if this guy's good, like we got to talk about him. Like there's no sense in waiting till after the season to try and dig these guys up. Let's try and be proactive. And if there's talented players, bring them to the forefront, because, you know, I'm not going to name names, but like, there's a lot of guys that we stumble across. We'll find a guy, the statistical profile will be interesting, or someone will, you know, ask us, hey, have you looked at this guy? And we look at the film, and a lot of times it's not good. Like there's a lot of guys that we look at and we kick the tires, and it's like, well, all right, maybe a couple years down the road, or, you know, maybe this has to break right for them. But when we see players that are, you know, at smaller schools or bigger schools that just aren't getting looked at a lot, but have the talent, you know, we try to bring them to the forefront.
Yeah. Appreciate it for sure.
With the draft looming, what do the next couple months look like for somebody who's in your shoes? You know, season's over, you're just kind of getting geared up. It's kind of an odd time, like not a lot of certainty. What's kind of like on your agenda? What is your plan and schedule look like going forward?
Yeah, you said it. No, a lot of uncertainty right now. You know, for the past 5 years, obviously high school, you kind of have things figured out. But for the past 5 years, especially, like, you know, okay, I'm gearing up for next season. Like, here's the things I want to work on. And at this point, it's, you know, it's our spring break, but I'm in some online classes, so they're, you know, easier to do from anywhere. So that's the good thing. I can, you know, do workouts wherever, whatever, you know, whatever I need to do. So I'm home right now. I'm in West Virginia. Basically just working out here for a week, trying to figure out the agent world, navigating that. And then, you know, I head back to Chattanooga this weekend and, you know, continue working out, trying to find, the right agent, figuring all that out. It's a crazy space, as I'm figuring out. It's just like anything else, trying to pick a college, the transfer portal, like it's you know, a big decision, so trying to figure that out. And then you know get invited to Portsmouth, hopefully, you know, go to, you know, all the different things that you can go to, the combines, all the good stuff. And then, you know, I think all the roads kind of lead to the summer league, so hoping to get on the team there. And like I said, you know, we'll, you know, if you show out and you do well, then you can earn yourself a spot somewhere. So that's kind of the rough layout I have, but I think all roads are pointing to the summer league.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. And what is your sort of primary focus as far as your game goes, heading into this process? Like, is there something where like, man, I really want to show that I'm getting better at this or that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious thing is the athleticism. Like, I want to be as bouncy, as quick twitch as I can possibly be. Like, I'm not promising, you know, a 4.4 40 or anything here, but, you know, I feel like I can show some signs of improvement. And then I think the biggest thing is just, you know, for anybody that's listening, I would say is just going into these things in the best shape possible. Like, I don't want to be the guy that they look at and say, okay, well, he hasn't done much since his season ended back in March, or, you know, whatever. So I'm just trying to stay in the best shape I can, play 5-on-5 every day. And then, you know, I think the rest will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. And with the fitness in the athleticism and things like that, I think where like there may be some hangups or concerns or things like that, as far as is probably going to be more so on the defensive side of things. You do a really good job as a shot blocker, and like you play really strong through your chest. Like you do a great job of staying vertical, not fouling around the basket and things like that, which is something that, you know, profiling a lot of big, young, big men, like that's a flaw that we see all the time. Like is guys that, tend to foul around the basket and things like that. So you are coming in well from a strength standpoint. It's more like the agility and mobility that people might have hangups about. How do you feel as far as like your comfort with different defensive schemes and things like that? Like, do you feel like at this point you're more of just like a drop big? Do you think you can like show at the level? How do you kind of feel as far as your ability to play in different defensive schemes?
Yeah, I actually feel pretty confident. Even when I went down with my hand injury, you know, I feel like when you go down with an injury, you can kind of go one of two ways. Like, okay, let me just chill out and just, you know, rest and not do much, which is the right for some people. But for me, it's like, how can I come back from this even better? So I could go to get to the strength coach and I'm like, look, I can still jump. I can still run. Let's do the speed. Let's start all that now. So I really feel like I have, you know, an 8-week head start. What I could have done. So even when I came back from the injury, like I felt like I was moving my feet better. I felt like, you know, leaping, you know, is getting better. And so I really do feel comfortable. You know, we even got a couple switches and I'm like, I feel comfortable guarding this guy. Like I'll tell the guards like, hey, if he gets in the paint, like I got him, like, don't worry about it. So yeah, I do feel comfortable in different schemes. And I think a lot of the hesitation with me is obviously, you know, drop coverage or different ball screen coverage. But I'm also looking at that as, okay, like there's a give and take. Like I was playing 38 minutes. I couldn't foul.
That's true.
You know, you're asked to be run like a, most of the time we're running like a matchup zone defense. So like communicating everything out. So I think at the next level, if I'm able to, you know, obviously I want to play 38, 40 minutes. If that's what you're asked to do, then that's what you're asked to do. But I just feel like my role will be different where, he's in here for 5-10 minutes at a time. And I think I'll be even more capable of kind of showing that. So I feel comfortable with it now. And that's with having to play every single minute of the game, basically.
For sure. And I think that's also to a degree where like the fact that you have a 7'10" wingspan comes into play, the fact that you are with gigantic long arms and things like that, is that like, I don't think you're like, there are some guys who like, I use the phrase like tell on themselves with their feet where like they play just like way too far off of a guy where it's like, please don't make me guard space. Like you're definitely not one of those guys.
Yeah.
But just having that extra length does make a huge difference when you're talking about switching and being able to keep guys in front of you and things like that. It's like the longer you can make yourself, it makes a difference, especially at this level.
And really just, I mean, figuring out like the more time, the more practice you have with it. Cause I mean, we were just a drop coverage team. Like that was just kind of our main ball screen defense is what I've always kind of done. So, and obviously I needed to do it more as a freshman. Like I would, and that's kind of just the habit I've built is just being a drop coverage guy. So I think obviously the more I work on it, the more like opportunities I'm given to do something different. Like I'll learn and figure that out as well. So
for sure. For sure. Let's see. Yeah. So just the last question I want to ask you, this is sort of a way down the road question, but whenever the day comes where you are no longer playing basketball anymore, what's the thing you want to do? Do you have anything where you're like, I want to do this? Or are you like, I want to be a basketball lifer. I want to coach. I want to do this and that. Like what's next whenever that day finally arrives?
Man, I tell people all the time, like, I can't imagine my life without basketball. So whether it, I mean, like I could talk to people about basketball. I could coach basketball. Like I really just don't think it'll ever leave my life. So probably some type of coaching management, I don't know, somewhere in there. But I'm also like a big fan of just talking all things sports. Like I have a podcast. Like I enjoy. Yeah. I'm a podcast.
Plug your podcast, by the way. Let people know where they can find it.
It's called Catching Fire. You can find it on all platforms. And I really just kind of spend time interviewing different, you know, college athletes. And I have a brother, and we talk sports. Man, it's just I love sports. It's what I do. So I really can't just imagine a time in my life where I'm not doing something with basketball in some form. So, you know, the ball will definitely stop bouncing, but I think I'm always going to be attached to the game somehow.
For sure. For sure, man. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to come on here.
This is awesome. I appreciate you guys.
For sure. So let's plug your socials. Where can people find you?
Yeah, like I said, you know, Catching Fire Podcast on all platforms, and then my Instagram and Twitter, all JakeStevens0. So go hit me up and you know, come on the podcast sometime. You never know.
For sure. Give Jake a follow, subscribe to his podcast, and keep him in mind throughout this draft process. He's a guy that a lot of our crew over at No Ceilings is really come to enjoy. So we're hoping to see it at some of these combine events and see where things take you. But best luck with all that. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Make sure you are subscribed to No Ceilings NBA on this podcast feed. Subscribe to our Substack as well, so you can get all of our written work as well. I'm Maxwell Baumbach. Thanks for joining us.